was a combat operation of the most difficult sort, a non-combatant evacuation carried out in contact with the enemy. The enemy in this case was ISIS Khorasan, a vile, tenacious foe that would undoubtedly have killed many, many more Americans and innocent Afghans at HKIA if it were not for the vigilance of our forces there. On 29 August, we undertook an MQ-9 strike against what we thought was an imminent threat to HKIA. That strike was a mistake, and I take full responsibility for that strike. I was under no pressure from any quarter to conduct the strike. It was based on our intelligence read of the situation on the ground. While in many cases we were right with our intelligence and forestalled ISIS-K attacks, in this case we were wrong, tragically wrong.
This is some craziness. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. It is Wednesday, and we are watching the ongoing. It's the same day, same crap, every damn day. Watching the ongoing talk about Afghanistan, that nothing will be done over it. Nothing's going to happen. Nobody's going to be fired. Nobody will be held accountable. It's like, what's the point? Why even have this? You have people that are sitting there in Washington, D.C. that don't have the will to actually do anything differently. So welcome to the radio program, nationally syndicated, danalash.com. Make sure you go sign up for the newsletter, all that jazz. I tell you that every day. So there was a really interesting exchange, and the senator who was doing some of the back and forth, it was very fascinating because there was a moment when this senator, this lawmaker, was questioning Milley, and he was specifically asking him about what had been discussed in some of these books. He was meeting with Nancy Pelosi, and they were having conversations about Trump's this was before the election, Trump's mental health. And actually, this was right after the election, because this was right around 1-6. And Pelosi was saying, he was going to overthrow the leadership, overthrow the White House, all this stuff. And that's when she said, everyone's over there kissing his fat butt, all this stuff. So the senator is bringing all this up in this conversation, right? And they quoted Milley at one point. I thought this whole thing was fascinating. They quoted Milley at one point saying that, I completely agree with you, Madam Speaker, because she was saying, we got to, we're worried that they're going to, what if Trump decides to have some kind of military action, et cetera. And that's when Milley was like, I agree with everything that you said here, Madam Speaker, et cetera. And the question to Milley was, all right, so you're agreeing with everything that Nancy Pelosi is saying, but yet you're one of the chief advisors to the president of the United States. If you thought he was crazy, why didn't you go and talk to this doctor that's sitting right here that actually could have done something about it? I mean, there's a whole process. Why'd you go and talk to the press about it? And he was like, he kept asking, he's like, what exactly that you said? And Milley at first couldn't recall. And then when the senator was quoting him on stuff, suddenly Milley's memory magically came back and he was able to go, wait a minute. No, what I said was, I'm not qualified to make that decision, Madam Speaker. And then the senator had him at that point. That, the jig was up. The senator had him. And so then Milley had to actually own what he was saying and come clean about it, which was hysterical to me. That was a insane exchange, because I was watching the senator lead it up and then knock it right out of the park. I think we have it here. Listen to some of this.
Talked about your commitment.
He had a southern twang. So I'll see if I can find it online. It was a little crazy. Yeah, it was just fascinating. But I that's like kind of a big point, right? Because there's two things to keep in mind here. So the first thing is this: if Milley, because Milley admitted in the ongoing testimony, Milley admits that, yeah, he did actually talk to the, I told you he did, guys. Didn't I tell you that he talked to the book authors? I absolutely told you that he did. I said, oh my gosh, he talked to Woodward. He was talking to these reporters with Washington Post, and that he admitted that he did it. Which to me we kind of all knew that, but finally that they're admitting all of this is something else. And then the other thing that we had figured out as we were listening to them have this discussion, the question is, well, why didn't you, if you thought he was crazy, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you follow the process that we're supposed to follow for this? Why didn't you follow the process? Why didn't you, if you thought he was crazy and you couldn't rely on him and you thought he was going to do something dangerous, then why didn't you, you know, go and report it and to medical and then follow the process to investigate it, et cetera, et cetera. Millie had no answer for this. He had absolutely no answer for this at all. Fascinating. And so the second thing, do you remember this was after the left tried to burn down the church by the White House? Do you remember this? They were out there rioting, and they were trying to burn down the church. And it was at that point, after the fire was put out the next day, as when Trump was leaving, and I had just said at the time, because I was watching what Millie said about this, Millie said he was at the White House for a different appointment. He was walking out as the president was walking out. The president didn't want to just like ignore him and walk ahead of him, so they walked and they talked. And that's when Trump ended up walking over to the church. And everyone was saying, oh, Millie was, that he was just using these generals as props, all this stuff, when he wasn't actually doing that at all. And even Millie attested to that. But then Millie said afterwards, all of the attention on it made him want to resign. I'm like, you wanted to resign after that, but your leadership that helped to get 13 service members killed, your leadership that was listening to the Taliban, that I was listening to the discussion today, the name's classified. The guy worked with the United States. He was an ally. He was an SIV. The guy that got blown up because apparently we were going off bad intel. And I'm with the senator that was doing the questioning. I'm not blaming anybody who had to take the order that was given to him. I want to know who the hell made the call. I want to know who the hell said, this is good information, let's act on this. Who's that guy? Why the hell are those people unaccountable? That's what they were trying to get at in this hearing. And one of the senators had asked, okay, well, you know, the name of the individual, and they're like, well, we can't. And there was a bunch of stuff related to that they couldn't even discuss outside of a classified setting. Who the hell made that call? $1 million question. I'll be damned if the IRS is going to be in our bank accounts looking at every single damn time we buy mass quantities from Costco or we so much as buy a new sofa. By God, I want accountability for the people who make these types of calls. Otherwise, GTFO. Thank you. Good night. So some of the other stuff that we're watching today, the president was supposed to go to Chicago. And he canceled it the day after he had his shot. I'm not saying that his shot had anything to do with it. I'm questioning whether or not his shot had anything to do with it. Big difference. So the president, he was supposed to jet off to Chicago, but now he's not. He's going to stay in Washington. The reason given is, oh, he's going to focus on negotiations, budget, reconciliation, and the not bipartisan, not infrastructure deal. One source in a move that made me just actually LOL, like legit LOL. One source said, there's a strong feeling that progress is being made. Our big gun is staying here. Your big, confused, I'm going to have intro and oatmeal for breakfast gun? That guy? The guy who, the video, did you see him wandering aimlessly around the White House lawn because he couldn't figure out where the hell the door was? I mean, dude, you were VP for 8 years. You've been a senator about twice our lifetimes. I was nothing but an idea in my mother's mind when this guy was elected to the Senate. You're telling me the man doesn't know where the damn door to the White House is? Give me a break. Jiminy Christmas. So, lots of lots of good stuff, as always. So, we're watching that to see what happens. We're also watching this whole, we're watching that whole fight with all of that. The vax mandate, we're getting more information on this. It's going to be hitting companies. Going to be hitting them companies. Now we're seeing, he's actually going to enforce it. Did you want to know what the actual fine was going to be? Do you want to know? Do you want to know what the fine's going to be?
I do.
You want to know?
I do.
It's buried on page 168 of the 2,465-page bill.
Damn.
And it's a tenfold increase in fines for employers that willfully and repeatedly violate the labor law that deals with harm and hazard. And that's how they're doing this. That's how they're pushing the vaccine mandate. They've started implementing it. It's OSHA. It's an emergency COVID rule in the Federal Register. So you're looking at anywhere from $70,000 per infraction, $70,000 to $700,000 per incident. come and make me. Physically come and make me. We'll have a war.
This administration is so anti-business.
This administration's anti-America.
Yeah.
That's not hyperbole to say that. If you don't want me to say that, maybe don't be a commie, and I won't. By the way, this is your daily reminder that Karl Marx's only contribution to Earth was as worm food. He was a chunky, disheveled, smelly, horrible person who was absolutely had a remedial understanding of logic and math. He was a horrible husband. Someone slept with him and produced children that hated him and they killed themselves. I'm not exaggerating. That actually happened. And he never contributed anything positive to the world except worm food. So that's your daily reminder that everyone who follows that person is as equally disheveled and ridiculous and dumb. There you go. Communism is the wart on the back orifice of this world and scene. Feel like I haven't said enough about communism. I kind of don't like it. I don't know if you can tell. I'm not a fan. All right, so the mandate. We're going to talk about this mandate. Also, did you see what happened earlier today? So now YouTube is banning channels that are airing criticisms of vaccines. Yeah. This is the difference here. This is the difference between the right and left. Like, I think it is absolutely irrelevant how absurd another person's point may be. If you were secure in your position and you can articulate your position well, then you should have no problem at all whatsoever about sharing the space with people who have diverse viewpoints. People who are insecure in their positions, these are the people who demand bans. We're gonna talk about this. And then Nancy Pelosi keeps saying that the dollar amount is zero. It's only zero if you add 3.5 in front of all the zeros and then a lot of other zeros after it. That's the only way. I don't know if you guys knew that. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get into a whole bunch of wokery. Oh, I have some other the Lloyd Austin SecDef is blaming the evacuation on the State Department now. Of course, we've got some cotton price inflation. Going to hit y'all's t-shirts and jeans. Stock up on them black tees. It's going to hit hard, apparently. I got some wokery for you. The medical journal won't say the word vagina because science. Meanwhile, make sure you follow their science. Whatever. Whether you're brewing the perfect cup of coffee before heading to work or cracking open a can of 300 on your next backcountry mission, Black Rifle Coffee Company is here to fuel wherever life takes you. Black Rifle Coffee Company is a veteran-owned coffee company, and they serve premium coffee to people who love America. They develop explosive roast profiles and experiment with new roasting methods with mission focus to bring you the best coffee possible. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders by giving back with every purchase you make. This summer, Black Rifle Coffee Company invites you to enjoy your coffee, not just in the great taste of America's coffee, but also the places you drink it and the passion and adventure it fuels. Take Black Rifle Coffee Company with you anywhere with their ready-to-drink cans and on-the-go packs. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV to find what inspires you. Use code DanaTV for 20% off your first coffee club purchase, coffee, and select gear. That's 20% off with promo code DanaTV at blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV. Fuel your summer with America's coffee, Black Rifle Coffee.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Yeah, General McKenzie admitted that ISIS-K, there was one ISIS-K facilitator that was killed in a U.S. drone strike in Afghanistan that was not directly involved in the suicide attack that killed 13 troops at the Kabul airport. They also really didn't say anything too much about the SIV that was killed along with 10 other innocents, 7 of which were children. Still no word on who's resigning. Feels like somebody ought to at this point. But heaven forbid, have them be Border Patrol agents using split reins that morons in the press think are whips. And just let's see how well that goes, right? Good heavens. Also, this is actually kind of funny. I'm in this mood. This would be great. A museum says that they gave an artist $84,000 in cash because they're dumb to use in artwork. And he delivered blank canvases and titled them Take the Money and Run. Kudos to this man, a Danish artist. His name is Jens Hanning, and he gave the Knudsen Museum of Modern Art in Denmark 2 blank canvases in an epic thing and said that they were titled Take the Money and Run. He was asked to recreate two of his previous works in 2010's An Average Danish Annual Income and An Average Austrian Annual Income that first exhibited. And I don't care when they exhibited. I just think the whole thing is funny. He just literally gave them two blank canvases and was like, later. And they don't know what to do. They're just sort of like, well, they're in contact with him. He called. They referred to him as a well-respected and well-known artist in Denmark. I think they totally got trolled. Kudos to you, sir. Kudos. No, I don't feel bad about it at all. Let's see. Otters. What the hell's going on with them? They're mysteriously attacking people and dogs. Okay, now wait a minute. I don't care if you attack people, but dogs, leave the dogs alone. What do they do to you? CBS says that otters in Alaska and Anchorage are displaying unusual behaviors. They say that they've attacked people and pets in some of the city's most popular outdoor areas. Officials are asking people to be careful when they're around rivers, creeks, and lakes. So I don't thought, you know, previously you only had to worry about gators. Now it's otters. They said a 9-year-old boy had to be taken to an emergency room for a rabies shot because he got bit a bunch of times near a duck pond. I mean, how do you not? Can I just? I go by my youngest son's rule. If it's tiny and you can kick it, what can you be? Why are you afraid? Just yeet that thing across the pond, right? Just kick it right into the next. Kick it right into the atmosphere. And an Illinois man woke up with a bat clinging to his neck and died of rabies. What is up with these animals? What do they know that we don't? Why are they rioting? Stay with us. Dana here. Do you enjoy a glass of wine with dinner? Maybe while in the backyard entertaining friends, unless you're in Australia. Well, let me tell you about one of my best kept secrets, the world's first extreme altitude wine club. My friends over at Bonner Private Wines are a group of Americans who got tired of those flimsy little icky wines that you find at a lot of supermarkets. You know, the kind. It's like a step above Boone's Farm. Cheap throat-burning reds, the syrupy yellow whites, gag. They set out on a journey miles away from civilization and 9,000 feet in the sky to find some of the world's most remote wines. They almost died trying to bring you this liquid treasure. Pop open one of these bottles and you're going to get blackberry, leather, smoke, and a little dark cherry. Plus, if you love steak and barbecue, you're an American, right? These wines make a great pairing. And today, you can be one of the first to try these extreme altitude wines. Visit conservativewines.com today and you'll get 50% off of your wine and 50% off of your shipping. No middleman. No inflated prices. Just visit conservativewines.com. That's conservativewines.com.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time.
And Senator Blackburn yesterday asked you about your conversations with several book writers, and you were fine with giving them your opinion. And I think you said that you had a rather blunt forward phone call with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
True.
And you were she was concerned over the safety of nuclear weapons.
Correct.
Okay. In a transcript obtained from CNN Political, Woodward and Costa quoted Pelosi as saying, and this was to you, "What I'm saying to you is that they couldn't even stop him from an assault on the Capitol. Who even knows what else he may do? And is there anybody in charge of the White House who was doing anything but kissing his fat butt all over this?"
Is that, do you recall that?
I haven't seen the transcript.
I think that would be firmly imprinted on my mind if it was a lot of House told me that.
I would just say there's a lot of disparaging comments made, and my focus was to assure her that the nuclear system and weapons were under control.
And according to Costa and Woodward, she went on to say, "You know he's crazy. He's been crazy for a long time." To which they say, and I'm sure you haven't had a chance to read the book yet, Milley responded, "Madam Speaker, I agree with you on everything." If you're the principal advisor to the president, and she said that to you, do you think that you were doing service to a president by agreeing with the speaker that your commander-in-chief is crazy?
I actually said, I'm not qualified to assess the mental health of the president. What I'm agreeing to is that we have to have a secure nuclear system.
Okay. Have you had any conversations with the speaker or any of our foreign leaders about our current president's mental capacity? We have a physician right here on the panel who was the personal physician of the prior three presidents who said President Biden should take a mental competency test. And we see it in the press, his lack of ability to answer questions. Have you had any conversations with anybody concerning his ability to carry out a nuclear order or any other serious engagements?
No, and my answer would be the same. I'm not qualified to evaluate a president's mental health or your mental health or anybody's mental health.
I'm
not a doctor.
But you were concerned about Trump. You said you were concerned about him when you made the calls to China.
No, I didn't. What I said to the call to China was I guarantee you that President Trump is not going to attack you in a surprise attack. I was carrying out his intent, President Trump's intent,
and
in order to protect the American people.
That was, to me, that was a really revealing exchange. Welcome back to the show. And I wanted to play that for you in total because that, to me, was a very, very revealing exchange. That there, General Milley, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, sitting there testifying before the Senate Armed Services Committee. I mean, and we all know that this is the stuff that he had said because he told Bob Woodward that he was saying this stuff. He told Bob Woodward what was going on. That's why this book had so much information. And then he went and told the press. He was excoriated. Who was taking him to task for telling the press? I can't remember what lawmaker it was because there's some really good lines of questioning here. And then you had a line of questioning that I wanted you to hear as well, where another senator was questioning him and also asking McKenzie this too, basically getting to the point of what I said last segment. Like, do y'all even know who you droned? Do you know who you droned? And they were, the point of this line of questioning is to get to who gave this order and when did they give this order? Who was the person who did it? What did they know? Where did they get their intel? Listen to some of this.
My math, 11,000 to 15,000 U.S. citizens, 5,400 out, that leaves thousands, not hundreds, left that want to get out. And I know for a fact, every office here, we had people calling us wanting to get out, U.S. citizens that were not allowed to get in the gate or were kicked off the base or were not allowed out. And with that, I just ask, guys, we got to get our folks home. I yield back.
Oh, well, wasn't it? No, he had asked, at one point, it was the same guy, he was asking a question as to, well, you know, can you give us, you know, who is the person who ended up being... Who was the person who was hit? Who because there was some strikes that were carried out, and they said that they apparently got like one ISIS K, but they don't know if that they don't. But that person wasn't involved in the attack on that killed the service members. And then they were also getting to asking about the innocents that had been killed in one of the drone strikes, and that was where you had 10 people who were killed, 7 of them were children, and apparently was an Afghan asset. And, you know, they wouldn't talk about any of this. That's out of a classified setting, et cetera, et cetera. I get it. But, oh, my gosh, just absolute craziness. And the whole point of that was to get to the point where they were asking, well, who is it that's giving? Who's the person who's giving the orders here? Who's giving the orders? Who's doing it? This is just I love that they're doing this now. I love that they're doing it. I know that MSNBC and CNN don't want to carry it. But I think that we should be talking about this as much as possible. Do not allow that administration to pivot away from this. This is crazy. Like I said, this is the administration that wants to be involved in every single bit of your life. But they're not offering you, none of these people have any accountability at all whatsoever. I will not be governed by people who refuse to accept accountability when they kill the wrong people because they're relying on a terrorist group we were bombing just a little bit ago. I ain't going to be relying on the authority or recognizing the authority of people who don't hold themselves accountable when they bar the people from holding them accountable. This is craziness. I'm not doing none of this. So, a couple of other things that I wanted to make sure that you are aware of as well, because we've got some coronavirus stuff. I know. It's the same. I know. North Carolina, they fired 175 workers, 175 medical workers who would not get the vaccine. 175 of them. Whenever you hear, oh, we got a shortage, well, maybe because you're getting rid of your staff. Maybe that's a thought. And at no point does natural immunity come up in any of this. Not a single point does natural immunity come up in this. Not a bit. Not one. They said that a North Carolina hospital system said it terminated about 175 workers. It's one of the largest mass firings in the country. Novant Health spokesperson Megan Rivers said Monday that around 200 of the 375 employees who were suspended last week that over the vaccine rules had come into compliance by its Friday deadline. I remember what I was telling you. One of the things that they were trying to do in this, I'm looking at this is in their, this is in their 2,400, this is still insane. I have the bill. I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and I'm looking at this particular, it's up at docs.house.gov. It's the, gets into all of it. It's 2,465 pages. It's on page 168. You can just go to page 168. Just scroll on down a couple hundred pages here, everybody. Let's go to page 168. And it gets into the issue with the fines. It could go anywhere from $70,000 to $700,000, the fine, for companies that do not have their employees vaccinated. It's about $750,000 for each fine. You're going to bankrupt companies. You will bankrupt companies even faster than the $14,000 OSHA fine that's under the mandate. This is a separate fine. So in case you were curious, you were like, well, wait a minute, Dana, I thought that this, no, kids, this is something separate. This is something different. That's that $14,000 OSHA fine. They said that they've already started implementing the mandate enforcement blueprint. And that's when you have the 100 or more COVID mandate, employee more mandate. OSHA is going to draft the enforcement rule to exert emergency vaccine compliance authority over these companies. Yeah, they're going to pass it, and then you can find out what's in it. So they have the adjustment of civil penalties. It's tucked away there on page 168 of the Build Back Better plan. Good heavens. Build Back Better. The draft of this is up online. It says it increases the fines because the $14,000, that was just the Biden's mandate. That's what they were saying, 14,000. That's what they were anticipating. No, they're adjusting it. And it talks about adjustment of civil penalties by striking 70,000 and inserting 700,000, by striking 5,000 and inserting 50,000. Gets into the existing law, willful and repeated violation. Any employer who has received a citation for serious violation, et cetera, et cetera. Look, I'm going to tell y'all something right the heck now. If you're going to be penalizing companies for this, you're going to be penalizing companies $70,000 to $700,000 per incident. You better be damn sure that what you're giving is a vaccine that inoculates and not a therapeutic. It's a therapeutic. It's not a vaccine. You're not getting inoculated. Now, if I say this because we're on YouTube, I'll probably get suspended for saying that. I got more. God has not given me enough middle fingers. I know it's probably mean to say. But I'm telling you what, this is the time. I'm not dealing with this, and I'm not going to comply. If you're going to sit here and you're going to force people into bankruptcy with fines, you better make sure that what you're giving them actually works. This thing does not reduce transmission. There are people who've died who've gotten coronavirus after they get the vaccine. The reduction of severity of symptom doesn't happen with everybody. Are we going to be honest about this, or are we all going to play pretend? I'm not here to play pretend. I want to live my life, and I'm going to be left alone. I am of the party that's called Get Away From Me. That's my party. Did you know that, Kane? And Leave Me Alone is our motto.
That could be a popular party.
Yeah. Exactly. That's my party's name. When people are like, how do you vote? Like, what political party are you? And I'm like the get away from me party. Get away from me. Actually, you don't have to say party. Just say get away from me and see what happens and see how people react. Wait, excuse me. What? Yeah, you asked. Get away from me. Oh, that's my party. Get away from me.
You know what I hate the most about this is that they're pushing the liability onto the businesses.
Yes.
When the liability should be with the vax manufacturers.
No, but you can't do that.
Ineffective these vaccines.
You can't do that. That's the thing. Let me tell you how ridiculous the left is. So first off, if you're going to sit here and say something is a vaccine, then you're suggesting that it's an inoculation. It's not you're not getting inoculated because you can still get it. You can still get it. People have still died after they've contracted coronavirus, etc. That's it.
But so what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission. Yeah.
That's CDC director. Take it up with her. So if you're going to force people into bankruptcy, you're going to fine these companies. You're going to get people in trouble like this. Then this is a then you better make sure that this works. Number one. Number two, don't dare be expecting someone to take an injection. Do not dare be expecting someone to take an injection when you're going to pass on accepting the liability for it. I'm not going to pay the pen. I know people are like, but those side effects are rare and shut up. I should not have to baby footnote everything I say to make happy the sensitive people out there. I don't care about doing radio for those people. They can get bent. I don't care. You shouldn't have to. If you're going to demand that someone get an injection, then you better cover the liability for it. If you're so confident about it, why aren't you taking the liability? Look, I get it. That in certain times and in rare instances, I get it. There's nuance here. The people who read with pictures don't get that. There's nuance. Yes, I get it. You have to have certain instances when you have like a plague or a pandemic and you need to have pharmaceutical companies be able to act quickly and to be able to blah, 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 blah. I get it. Okay, but that whole thing, that premise is hinged upon, the whole thing is predicated upon the idea that it's way more fatal, that the fatality ratio is worse than other illnesses, and that it is that the survivability, that the rate of survival is super low, but it's not. So you can't really use that argument because in order to use that argument, you have to pretend that it's way less survivable than it is. So that logic doesn't make sense. So back to my point, which still stands. If you're going to demand that people get an injection, then you better be prepared to accept the liability of that. Because not only, as Kane said, not only is this passing the liability onto the businesses, but what happens if you are one of those people that has an adverse reaction? I love everyone who's like, oh, it's rare, it's rare. Who the hell are you to assume to determine someone else's risk? Who are you to determine someone else's risk? Sit down. If you're so terrified, if you are so nervous, stay home. Do us all a favor. Stay home. Don't breed. Don't vote. The end. The day that somebody comes to try to force me to get an injection, I don't care if it's just me. I'll go to war. There you go. I'm done. This whole thing is ridiculous. But I'm not wrong. The end. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
Not about a dollar amount. The dollar amount, as the president said, is zero. This bill will be paid for.
Wait a minute. If it's paid for, how is it $0? How does that work? Why is the IRS involved if it's $0?
How much are they paying for it then?
I want to live in the world these people do. How can I live also in that world? Like, how do I?
So wait a minute. If my car payment's $500 and I pay it every month, that means it's zero?
No, you got to take money from somebody else and then it's zero.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Doesn't none of it makes any sense. Oh my gosh. I don't know. I saw somebody tweet a thing that said, never forget the January 6th insurrection. And it's the, what is that Will Smith alien movie, Independence Day, when they came over the White House? That's what the left acts like this is. They act like it's like, they act like that. They legit believe that. Craziness. All right, so coming up, they're going to vote on this bill tomorrow. We're going to talk about that. And exactly, because now there's some movement. In fact, Manchin, his demands, apparently, they're very counter to what progressives want. He says, we just got to pass a bipartisan bill and negotiate in good faith. That's it. And everybody hates that. No, we don't want to negotiate in good faith. We hate good faith. We hate good faith. Good heavens. So we're gonna get into all of that. So you don't want to miss a single bit of the show. Don't go anywhere. More of the Dana Show back after this, folks. Dana here. Do you enjoy a glass of wine with dinner? Maybe while in the backyard entertaining friends, unless you're in Australia. Well, let me tell you about one of my best kept secrets. The world's first extreme altitude wine club. My friends over at Bonner Private Wines are a group of Americans who got tired of those flimsy little icky wines that you find at a lot of supermarkets. You know, the kind. It's like a step above Boone's Farm. Cheap throat-burning reds, the syrupy yellow whites, gag. They set out on a journey miles away from civilization and 9,000 feet in the sky to find some of the world's most remote wines. They almost died trying to bring you this liquid treasure. Pop open one of these bottles and you're going to get blackberry, leather, smoke, and a little dark cherry. Plus, if you love steak and barbecue, you're an American, right? These wines make a great pairing. And today, you can be one of the first to try these extreme altitude wines. Visit conservativewines.com today and you'll get 50% off of your wine and 50% off of your shipping. No middleman. No inflated prices. Just visit conservativewines.com. That's conservativewines.com.
Talk a little bit about the strike on August the 29th, I think. Who set the rules of engagement? Where were the rules of engagement? At what level?
So under the rules of engagement, and we'd need to get into details in a classified setting, we have...
No, I don't want to know what the rules of engagement were. I want to know whose rules of engagement were they?
The U.S. military's rules of engagement.
Was that President Biden's? Was that Secretary Austin's? Was that CENTCOM's?
They are wholly neutral as to the party in power.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with the rules of engagement.
And I want to refer to a New York Times article on March 3rd described a policy change of the Biden administration that placed greater restrictions on drone strikes and raids conducted outside conventional battlefield zones. Previously authorized by ground commanders, these operations now require White House approval. Did the strike on August 28th or 29th, the one that killed 10 innocents, did it require presidential approval prior to the strike?
No, it did not.
Okay. At what level, who was the approval authority for that strike?
The target engagement authority was forward in the theater at the over-the-horizon cell that oversees those activities.
At what level? What, one star, two star, three star?
Flag officer level.
Flag officer level. Okay. And at what point, General McKenzie, and this is for all three of you, at what point did you know that the strike was bad, that it hit civilians?
Well, so we knew the strike hit civilians within 4 or 5 hours after the strike occurred. And U.S. Central Command released a press release saying that. We did not know, though, that the target of the strike was, in fact, an error until a mistake until sometime later. It took us a few days to run that down.
Okay.
But we knew pretty soon after the strike.
Good deal. Secretary Austin, when did you know it was a bad strike that killed civilians?
As soon as General McKenzie
back and forth. This was just a little bit earlier with some of the questioning, the Senate Armed Services Committee, and the questioning with General Milley there. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. A lot of very good stuff. A lot of good stuff to discuss. And we've been going over everything from, oh my gosh, where to start? We've been following this ongoing testimony of these generals. We've also been following the back and forth with the Build Back Better. Buh. That's the bill that Joe Biden's coming out. We're following all of that, the battle over the budget and what cinema. And by the way, quick note on this. I love a friend of mine made a really good point because I just saw this. It said... You know, cinema is going to cinema could betray her party and give them nothing on reconciliation. So why is it, my friend noted, that John McCain's a maverick, but yet Kristen Sinema betrays her party? She's just being a maverick. That's all she's doing, right? She's just being a maverick. That's all. Leave her alone. For the love. So, a lot of stuff in this. We're going to get back to this. We're going to get to some of this stuff because the fines, the fining up to $700,000 companies, if they do not mandate vaccines as a part of the Build Back Better. Like I said, last hour, if you're going to mandate vaccines, you better be dang sure that they're more than just therapeutics. And you better assume liability for any adverse reactions. Otherwise, you better bring force. The end. This is insane. Absolutely insane. So we're going to talk about some of that because that's in this Build Back Better thing. Tell me how that's a part of infrastructure. It's not. This is the bill that costs $0. Absolute $0. There you have it. Somebody's mad at me about the vaccines. Go pound sand. Oh, I get fun mail sometimes from people. I'm not a hive mind person. I'm not the Borg. They are fake. It's a fake character for Star Trek. We don't act like the Borg. All there is to it. So this, just a couple of things here. We're gonna get because I want to go through all of this, but with some of the Rona stuff, just FYI, the North Carolina hospital system fired 175 of their unvaccinated employees. I keep seeing, like, New York was doing the same thing. Was that Monday? It was Monday, I think, that they had to get the vaccine, otherwise they were going to get fired. And that was the new governor, Kathy Hochul. Did you guys see the Stephen Colbert? I don't watch Stephen Colbert because that's great grandpa TV. He apparently did this like kooky dance with needles. He is so cringy. It's no wonder Greg Gutfeld's beating the pants off him. I mean, he did where he had people dressed up as needles and then they danced. And I guess this is supposed to be cool and funny. It is. Somebody actually made this. They actually thought that this was cool to make. And I just cringe. I cringe. So it just makes me just for the love. It's so cringy. I can't, man. When did he was like way funnier when he wasn't a dork and when he wasn't trying so hard to be accepted. He tries so hard to be loved by the political left. It's crazy. He really does, I think himself like this arbiter of this stuff and culture. It's so cringe. Oh my gosh, how cringe. He's what happened to late night? I thought late night was like, didn't it used to be cool? Who would want to stay up late and watch that?
Yeah, I used to be amused by him. I used to be amused by several of the late night guys that are no longer amusing.
Jimmy Fallon's still kind of, I mean, he's not bad. I just don't watch late at night anymore because it's boring. It's boring and cliche. I was having a conversation with some folks about this. All the stuff that has come out of Hollywood or all the stuff that's like on late night TV or anything, it's just like they're killing comedy. It's not funny. I don't watch it. It's all trash. Trash, 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 trash. So that's what they're doing, I guess, to try to get people to consider getting the injection. Now, LA officials are considering requiring proof of vaccine now to not just enter bars and big like sporting events, etc., but to enter restaurants and gyms, movie theaters, personal care establishments. It's one of the city's strictest requirements yet. So by November 4th, you got to show proof of everything. Vaccination or repeated negative tests if you attend an outdoor event with 5,000 or more attendees, an outdoor event. I don't think that's going to work so well for them. I saw a poll that said 65% of Americans say that Americans should not lose their jobs if they object to the vaccine. It's the Trafalgar group. I'm joking. Not with the poll. But the Trafalgar group had said that they had it was way over 1,000 respondents. They're likely voters. I think registered voters are more powerful, but likely voters, you know, is. But they said that 65% of those voters don't believe that Americans should lose their jobs. And when you break down the age participation, it was oversampled Democrat too. Just I'll have you know, not by a lot. It was about 39% to 35% oversampled Democrat, but you had 25% independent. You had more women than men, and you had more white Americans than anybody else. So when they ask people, this is like 65% of both Democrats and Republicans who believe that people should not lose their jobs. That's kind of crazy. There's a lot of people that are coming. There's some common ground there. There's some common ground. So these mandates where now YouTube is banning criticism of the vaccines. It doesn't make sense. Why do they think that that's helpful? Or why is the penalty for not doing something that doesn't give you the protection it claims to? You're not getting inoculated. You can still get it. People are still dying from it, even after they have their vaccines. So why is the penalty so severe for not doing it? When things don't add up, that makes people speculate, and it makes them totally suspicious. They're making me more and more suspicious over this. They spend more time trying to get people to bend a knee down than they do answering questions. I mean, we still don't have any results of any studies with women's reproductive health, and we're just told by the progressive males to shut up. I mean, come on. Come on. But this is, it's troubling. And then if we do vax passes, this on top of having the IRS monitor things in everybody's bank account. So it went from they're proposing to have it go from $600 in your bank account to $10,000 in your bank account. And then they're going to monitor everything that you do. They couldn't even monitor Larry Nassar when you had Olympic gymnasts telling the government that he was a pedo. They couldn't even deal with him, but they're going to watch everybody's money in their bank accounts. This is something else. So a couple of other things here. The hearing ongoing with the fallout of Afghanistan, General Milley, actually, he admitted that he spoke to Woodward and the other authors for the books on the Trump presidency. So he admitted it. This is a guy that sits here and tries to get you to believe that he is such a reverence for protocol, but yet he's the first person to run to the press. But tell us how reverent you are and how much you honor and you respect protocol. One of the emails that I got this morning, this is so funny. Have you all heard of Matthew Dowd? He's a guy who used to be a bad Republican and now he's just a crappy Democrat. He's a guy who just desperately wants attention. He used to, I first met him when I did election night coverage for ABC, and he desperately wanted, he would send me emails of his columns hoping that I would push them out on social media or talk about them on air. He always wanted to come on my show. He was always asking for attention, always asking for me to share his stuff. Oh, I saved all the receipts, so try me. I mean, I never delete an email. I save everything. I've got all of them. And then he ended up getting mad at me over something. Because I got mad at him. I went at him. I think this was after a friend of mine who lost her husband, and he called her joyless, right? Like in the days after she just lost her husband, because he disagreed with something she had said prior politically. He had went after and was mocking our friend Janice Dean after she was mourning the loss of her in-laws to the nursing home policy from Andrew Cuomo. And he's just a nasty dude. Anyway, he's decided that he's going to run for lieutenant governor in Texas. So he sent out an email begging for support and all this stuff. The turd has me blocked on social media, but he's going to sit here and beg for help and all this. I unsubscribed. It took me like 5 years to unsubscribe from his stupid columns after he stopped sending it to me personally. But then here's the kicker. He decides that he's going to try to make money off of Sutherland Springs, you know, the mass casualty incident in Texas that was stopped by my good friend, who Stephen Williford, who had his AR-15, and he stopped it with his AR-15. And the place is called Sutherland Springs, but in Dowdford, Texas, they called it Sunderland Springs. Sunderland Springs. Not kidding you. That's, and they're trying, they can't even name it right. What a tool bag. I just felt like making fun of him. There's a basket somewhere of really bad political characters, people like Matthew Dowd and Beto O'Rourke and Eric Greitens. They're just all in this basket, right? A basket of tool bags. How about that? Just come at me. All right, we got a lot more to come. So we're also gonna keep you updated about all of the latest with this hearing. I got a bunch of other economic stuff for you. We're following the back and forth too as we lead up to that vote tomorrow on the Build Back Better plan. I'm just gonna make fun of it. It's so stupid. It's not about infrastructure. It's the dumbest thing. We should make fun of it and feel proud about that.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
This is kind of funny. So Financial Times is saying that Huawei is trying to reinvent itself amid growing U.S. pressure. Maybe it could reinvent itself not as a communist tool for the CCP. There's a thought, right? Big thought. There you go. Also, speaking of CCP and China, Chinese government is blocking its airlines from purchasing tens of billions of dollars worth of U.S.-made airplanes. The Commerce Secretary, Gina Raimondo, has called for the U.S. to counter China's economic power. Well, do we have an administration that actually has the stomach to do that? I'm not quite sure. Let's see. A black Google. Actually, how funny is that? I'm going to start saying that from now on. Google. It's not Google. It's Google. A black Google employee claims that he was escorted off the company's Mountain View campus by security because they didn't believe that the new hire, because he's a new hire and he's from Harvard University, they didn't believe that he worked there. I know. This was from their sprawling California campus. And he says they didn't think that he worked there. He's an associate product manager. He graduated Ivy League. And he had a 3.8 GPA. He was held for 30 minutes by security guards at the Google headquarters in Mountain View. And they said, it was his security badge. It wasn't bias. I think it was probably bias because I think all these people are pretty bigoted anyway. So I'm just going to go with that because there's more proof there than anything that they ever claim about all of their political detractors, honestly. And a Turkish man joined in a search operation for himself. This is according to a British publication. The man they were looking for him out in the woods, and he joined him. He joined them, and he goes, "I'm here." There's nothing better than slipping into bed with soft, comfortable sheets at the end of a long day. Now My Pillow wants you to sleep better with their Giza Dream Sheets, made from the world's best cotton, grown in a small area of the Mediterranean, and made into a fabric that is ultra soft and breathable. The Giza Dream Sheets sateen weave gives them a luxurious finish that will have you sleeping like a dream. Available in a variety of colors and sizes, machine washable and durable, all Giza Dream Sheet sets come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. For a limited time, you can save 50% on all Giza Dream Sheets. Visit MyPillow.com, click the radio listener square, and use promo code Dana at checkout. Or call 800-944-4975 to get the Giza Dream Sheets for as low as $49.99. You'll also find deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Don't miss the sale of the year. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Dana, or call 800-944-4975. Sleep better with MyPillow.com.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
General Milley, yes or no to this. Did you talk to Bob Woodward or Robert Costa for their book, Peril?
Woodward, yes. Costa, no.
Did you talk to Carol Leonic and Philip Rucker for their book, Alone, Can I Fix It?
Yes.
Did you talk to Michael Bender for his book? Book is, frankly, we did win this election, the inside story of how Trump lost.
Yes. Yes.
And were you accurately represented in these books?
I haven't read any of the books, so I don't know.
Help write them. I don't.
I've seen press reporting of it. I haven't read the book.
Let's have you read the books and then let us know if you are accurately presented.
Absolutely.
And portrayed.
Happy to do that.
Senator Blackburn, we're adhering to the 5-minute rule.
You just watched.
I'm telling you something. That's insane. That is crazy. What is he doing talking to the press about this?
But he was able to read all these books on white rage and everything.
Yeah, I was too busy reading White Rage. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. Make sure you go to subscribe to the newsletter. You can also download the Odyssey app and listen to the show that you're listening to now. No apologies on the first 560 Eastern. All right. I'm like running through everything. There's a lot of stuff to mention. Why is he talking to the press? And they're Bob Woodward, they're with the press because they're with WAPO. Why is he talking to the press? Why is he giving this information for books?
I didn't have time to read the books that I help write. I was too busy reading White Rage and White Raging It Out.
Mark Milley is White Rage.
Yeah.
One of the questions that was asked during this hearing was, there were 12 military members that got citations on January 6th. And then they used that as a springboard to say, there's a dangerous ideology that is within, that has infiltrated the military, dangerous extremists. As a way to say that, to bolster their witch hunt on people in the military who don't support Joe Biden or are conservative or libertarian or whatever. That's a creepy thing, too, that's happening, that's going on. And those military members that aren't getting vaccinated, regardless of whether or not they already had the virus and they have natural immunity, they're being told that they can't go and be deployed. Did y'all know that? Because science, the science that in every other virus, in every other anything, you are considered to be inoculated against it. You have antibodies if you already have it, except with coronavirus. It's magical somehow. So this, I want to switch gears here. I think I closed my audio list. Of course I did. I closed my dang audio list because some of we're watching this back and forth, this fighting over basically all of our monies with this, the budget bill, the Build Back Better bill that doesn't build back anything better except the Taliban. And how much money we're all going to be paying. What all is that? We were talking about some of the stuff in it yesterday, the tree equity, the bias training, things of that nature. And it's bad news. They keep saying that it costs $0. It doesn't actually cost $0, though. Doesn't actually cost $0. I wanted to play this. Audio Soundbite 1. Excuse me. This is Jen Psaki, who was explaining how it's going to be the big wealthy companies and people who don't pay their fair share. This is how we're going to make up for any kind of shortfalls. Because the way, just to add, that when they sent the tax package to the House and Ways Committee, what they discovered is that the taxes that they're proposing in this aren't even going to cover half of the $3.5 trillion in spending. So they're going to have to try to get it some other way. And they're looking at other taxes for that. Fine. I mean, you could be looking at a carbon tax, a whole bunch of stuff, mileage tax. We're going to look at that. But this is what Jen Psaki said yesterday when they're discussing this. Listen,
I want to ask you about what Republicans are pointing to in the analysis from the Joint Committee on Taxation. Mm-hmm. They say, according to, if I've read the chart correctly, more than 16% of taxpayers would see their taxes increase under the bill that's approved by the House Ways and Means Committee. Will the president sign that bill as it is coming out of that committee, or will he insist on the changes so that he will maintain his commitment that taxes won't go up on people making $400,000 a year?
I have not looked at the document or the report that you have put out. Obviously, the president, or that you have referenced, I should say, that the Republicans put out. Obviously, the president's commitment remains not raising taxes for anyone making less than $400,000 a year. There are some, and I'm not sure if this is the case in this report, who argue that in the past, companies have passed on these costs to consumers. I'm not sure if that's the argument being made in this report. We feel that that's unfair and absurd, and the American people would not stand for that. But I will take a closer look at this report and get you a more.
Well, what do you expect people to do? Do you think that, I mean, for the love, this is sort of like a quasi Dave Chappelle yogurt episode. So tell us, why are you here to get a, I can't play it on here because he's scared. Why are you here to get this job at this yogurt? And he's like, well, I've always had a deep passion because I'm broke. That's what he says. And it's hysterical. And I just kind of keep thinking this. What do you think people are going? What do they go into business for? Why are they? You're saying that it's absurd. It's absurd for you to rob people of their income and their capital so that you can go pay for tree equity so that you know, you have people who are maybe in Springfield, Missouri. They can go and pay for trees up in New York City. Is that that's how you want to approach this? And you have to take the tax dollars of businesses, of corporations, and it's going to be the middle class, like the smaller businesses that are going to be hit and hit the most and be the most the worst off with this. And you think it's absurd and unfair if they have to, if they're going to pass on those costs because they just get into, who gets into business for free? Do you think Jen Psaki works for free? You think any of these clowns in this administration work for free? You're supposed to do things in, you're supposed to do things for the goodness, out of the goodness of your heart. You're not supposed to get a paycheck. Really? Then why does Biden get paid from all these Chinese and Ukrainian business associates? I'm curious. This is so dumb.
And he's not the only Biden to get paid.
Yeah. Not the only one. Oh, you mean the, wait, I'm sorry, Kane. Are you talking about his 50-something-year-old infant baby child?
Yes, his baby son.
His baby infant son. Little 50-something-year-old Hunter Biden. Little baby Hunter.
Smoking his baby crack?
Yeah, he's got his baby crack pipe. Little Fisher-Price crack pipe.
With his baby art.
Yeah, he's got his little Fisher-Price hookers and blow. What? It's a thing. Or is it Mattel? I'm sorry, I get confused. All the toys are so different today.
It is tough to remember.
Yeah. Didn't he do like the Fisher-Price My First Pornhub account? Something like that with Hunter Biden? Didn't he do that? Little baby Hunter, 50-something-year-old Biden? Little baby infant? Right? How dare you pick on that infant? He's like practically a fetus. How dare you pick on him? 50-something-year-old Hunter Biden with his Fisher-Price My First crack pipe. I could make fun of that for the rest of the show.
He's closer to diabetes than fetus.
That, I like that, even though it doesn't make at all sense on this.
Totally does.
I don't want that. But no. He makes, to your point though, he makes a lot of money doing that. Oh, yeah. He makes lots of money off that. So does he do it out of the goodness of his heart? No, he does it because he likes money. I think it's just so unfair that they are, I mean, can't believe that they're actually expecting people to pass the call. They have people to feed to. Let me tell you, I get so aggravated with these people who have no idea what businesses do. They're like, oh, these big corporations, they're so bad. These big corporations, though, and they look at all the capital that they make, et cetera, et cetera. They're people like you. These are people who work here like you. And you know how many people they feed? Think about it. When she's talking about increasing the cost for consumers in response to them taxing them more. Yeah, because you're making things more expensive for them. And they can't. What's the point of going into business if you're losing money? This is said like this administration. None of these people have ever had to meet payroll. None of these people know what it is to run a business or create something from nothing. Most of them either married into wealth or they they had their parents that just didn't challenge them and handed them everything. Most of them, honestly, they grew up middle class or maybe upper middle class, and then they went into government and got wealthy off of all of us, like in Joe Biden's case. Or you could be like John Kerry and you could marry a sugar mama. Mm. Mm-hmm. I don't know how with that personality. How did he land a widowed heiress? For real. Like, how does that... He's John Kerry.
He talks like this.
He's like the closest living relative that Lurch has. How does that work? I'm not into it. I'm just, you know, just bringing it up as a question. Sometimes I'm just amazed by nature. So, this idea these companies, it's the companies who they source from, the people who do the deliveries, the people who work on premises, all of these people are fed by this commercial activity with these businesses way more than the government could ever try to do. And then you have Cynthia Loomis. And good for her, because she was railing on the administration because they wanted to have banks report every transaction over $600 to the IRS. Now they're going to try to modify it to $10,000. She said that people are going to find alternatives to thwart the IRS's leering eye. How is this not a violation of your right to privacy? How is this not, because it's IRS or federal agents for all intents and purposes. How is this not illegal search and seizure? Mm-hmm. Someone explain, how is that not illegal search and seizure? This, and this is in the Build Back Better. They got to build back better. See, they have so much new spending for which they have zero offsets. So they've got to jack up taxes on everyone because the government's going to spend a whole bunch of stuff on trees and bias training. You know, infrastructure. That's infrastructure. We got to find a new name for infrastructure that's actually infrastructure. Because the old definition of infrastructure, the old definition is whatever Democrats want it to be. I'll think about that. Banks have to report any kind of inflows and outflows to the IRS, including any kind of Venmo, PayPal, or crypto exchanges. So they're Democrats were pressing Biden to redefine the $600 to $10,000. And so they could, I mean, and she, and Loomis is right. She's like, it's invasive. It's, to me, it's an absolute violation of right to privacy. People are going to have to find traditional the alternatives to what traditional banking, because nobody, the idea that because you don't want to share something means that you're hiding something. No, I don't want to share anything with these people. Absolutely not. To be able to have the government watch every single time that you make any kind of purchase. Why did you? Oh, wait a minute. I saw here that you purchased another crochet pattern off Etsy. Oh, do you really need to do that? It's none of these people's business. This is statist. But they want to know everything about us. Imagine if they get something like this passed and then you have the vax pass. Yeah. People are mad, by the way, because Dollar Tree is going to start introducing items that are higher than $1. People are going to, they're getting mad. Wasn't it always higher than $1 with tax? Even if it was like $1.07, that's still over a dollar. Just saying. So they said that they are going to start testing higher priced merchandise. I think that's going to, that's so far it looks like it's upsetting a lot of people.
That's evidence of a business having to pass on the cost to the customers.
Yep, exactly. For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at deltarescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit directly deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A lot of you sent me this video about a Florida man who is trending online after he caught an alligator in a waste management trash can, according to reports and viral video. The video was shot in front of a residence as a standoff between the upset reptile and the man ensued. On Twitter, Cass Anderson said, "This is the most Florida thing I've seen in months," reacting to the capture. The man in the video, Abdul Malik, said on social media, quote, "I got kids to protect." That's pretty. It's true, though. He got kids to protect. He actually scooped it up in a giant trash can. That's amazing. And Bray, and I don't know what they did with it after. It doesn't say. It was a biggin. You are correct, Kane. It was approximately biggin size. And yeah, I'm just saying. It's pretty amazing. I can't read this one story. It has to do with a woman who did something entirely inappropriate again, but this time in front of a Popeyes. Okay. And that's all I'm going to say, because there's enough. Enough is enough. Okay, come on. Let's enough. For the love. Let's see. Oh, man, some of these are so bad. I don't know. What is this? Like, it's full, has it been a full moon for the past couple weeks? I'm just, oh, my gosh. Let's see here. We got a story about a man who's, oh, man. This is actually a real thing. Okay, so this Florida man, this is so bad. They've been having a fight over this. This is over at Volca Conspiracy. The man has a bumper sticker that says, I eat backside, except it's a double snakes. And because it's a story that people sent to me about Florida Cane. And
I sent you stories too.
I know, but this is from a listener. So that is more important. There you go. See, I love my listeners, Kane. I love them. And they wanted me to read this story. So I'm reading it. It says a district court is concluding that the law is unclear enough that a police officer was entitled to qualified immunity based on his arresting a man for the sticker. I cannot believe, first off, that somebody got arrested for the sticker. Is it crass? Of course it is. But is it an actionable offense? No, it's a sticker. Words are not actions. They're not violence. Speech is not. It's crazy. But they were trying to say that it was obscene. And so while it sounds silly, the point of this is that the Florida state statute, it was determined that the sticker was not obscene and it did not actually meet the Supreme Court approved definition of obscenity. So as a result, the guy can keep his preference for this particular activity revolving a backside on his car. That's can you believe that? And there's your lesson today in Florida law on obscenity. We have more in store. Don't go anywhere. We will have coming up Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt as well. Stick with us.
So when you look at the overall package, it's got a headline price tag of $3.5 trillion, but that's not a single year. This is spread out over a number of years. And most importantly, it's paid for by asking the wealthiest of Americans who have benefited incredibly over the last several decades, and even in the midst of a pandemic, saw their wealth and assets rise enormously.
I mean, it's crazy that people pay for like products. It's so weird. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here, danalash.com. Make sure you go and subscribe to the newsletter, chapter and verse, all good things. I'm so tired of hearing Democrats. You know what? Barack Obama's so upset about it. Why doesn't he voluntarily send extra? Why doesn't he just write a check to the Department of Treasury? Yeah. Just voluntarily do it. We really should end withholding. Honestly, I think that people should have to write a check, like a lot of business owners do, to the government quarterly. They should have to deal with it. You want to talk about, you ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen riots. You ain't seen nothing unless people were had to do that. Goodness. All right. So this Biden's out there or Obama's out there trying to help Biden with this whole tax the rich nonsense, which is stupid because it doesn't. I can't believe we're still having this conversation. We've done the math over it. Right. He wants to have this basically. Let's just all for all intents and purposes, it's basically like $4 trillion. Well, the rich need to pay more. But that's the thing. They pay seven times the share. That's an actual number from the IRS by a ratio of more than 7 to 1. I mean, people, the upper, what is it, the top bracket pays a ridiculous amount. And that's what they cover. But here's the thing. You could confiscate everybody's salary, everybody's bit of dollar that they have. And it's still not going to cover everything because it's too much spending. There's no reason why they need to do any of this. You have the mileage tax. Remember Pete Buttigieg, right? Mayor Pete Buttigieg. How do you say his last name? Buttigieg? That's right. I said it. That's right.
Buttigieg.
Yeah, I was asking myself. Buttigieg. Like be the judge. Right? No, be the judge. Pete Buttigieg. I'm saying it like, what's his face? That one guy that, I can't remember his name. He's alive. Good for him.
O'Donnell, or who was it?
Yeah, that guy. Pencil Neck McTall. That's his name? These people tire me out, guys. I don't have the brain power there to sit here and remember all these ridiculousness of these people. I mean, not really so much brain power, the tolerance, let's put it correctly. So you have, they've been trying to push since spring, they've been trying to push this per tax, per mile tax. So apparently that's something that they got stuck in here. But none of this is the thing. It does not do a single thing. It doesn't cover all of it. I can't believe people sit here and still push this idea that there is that tax the rich, that people don't pay their fair share. I'm looking at some of these, like Vox had said, oh yeah, Joe Biden should tax the rich. It's the right thing to do. Right thing to do. Be quiet. It's insanity. So it's not going to cover everything. And they have no offset spending in any of this. You're never going to be able to ever. We've been talking about this since the Obama years. You're never, ever, ever going to be able to tax the rich enough to cover everything. You have federal spending that has skyrocketed in the past 20 years. Even under Barack Obama, at the top tax rate, they still could not even come, not even to a quarter of the way to covering everything because of government spending. That's what they always do, though. That's such class warfare garbage. That's people who don't understand math or business go, well, just tax the rich. Okay, what are you going to do about offset spending? What are you going to do about the non-enumerated powers spending of the government that never, ever, ever is enough for them and that no amount of taxation would ever cover? Government always has revenue and more revenue when taxes are lower. If anything, under JFK in the 60s, prove that. But you're not going to be able to do this. It's not going to happen. Apparently, one of the other things, too, is Menendez is saying that he wants a total repeal of the limit on the state and local tax deduction, the salt tax. I love it how the Democrats are like, tax the rich, but can we have that salt tax? Right. Can we lift this cap? Can we do this? They want a full, yeah. I think that reconciliation will probably pass. But I don't know about the rest of this infrastructure insanity. Like there, that's like the vehicle mileage tax, for instance. The $1 trillion infrastructure package is going to have this in there. So Pete Buttigieg actually finally got that in. So $125 million, and they want to look at a bunch of these pilot programs that they're going to use to test a national vehicle miles traveled fee, Kane. They want you to not go anywhere. They want you to stay inside your home, and they want you to just be reliant upon the government. They want you to be dumb, unhealthy, overweight, and unengaged.
Wait, so we see oil prices are the highest in over 3 years. Gas prices, as a result, the highest we've seen in a long time.
Supply shortage.
And they want to do a mileage tax on top of all that?
Yep.
What the hell?
Well, you just got to give some more of your money up. For the government, it's not your money. It's
but I was
the
promised
money.
I wasn't going to be tax making less than $400,000 a year.
Oh, that was a lie. It's not your money anyway. It's the government's money. Just give the government what it's owed.
What?
It's not your money. It's the government's money. Just like what's his face, Terry McAuliffe said that these aren't your kids; they're the government's kids. Have you heard this? I got to say, audio soundbite 21. This dude, Terry McAuliffe. Listen to this.
Books, Glenn, not to be knowledge about it, also take them off the shelves. And I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decision.
You vetoed it.
So, yeah, I stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. But, you know,
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have a fit. Wow. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have a fit. First off, Terry McAuliffe, who's a Democrat running for governor. The schools, our kids aren't yours. I guess he's never heard of parenthood and or taxes. Because, yeah, we absolutely do. I'm going to tell schools what they can't. Oh, man. Imagine having me. Imagine being in school and having to deal with me. Oh, I'm very vocal. I do not put up with shenanigans. I am very involved and I'm very vocal. We homeschooled up to a certain point. Now, oldest is in college and the youngest is in high school. And I am super involved. I know the teachers. I'm talking to people. I'm absolutely, if I got a problem with stuff, if my kids don't raise objection first, which they usually do, not that we have a lot of issues, but usually whenever there is one, it's my kid. My kids can, they can speak up and they can speak out and they can object to content, etc. And they do it quite a lot. My oldest is in college and he's going into law and he's been having a lot of fun in poli-sci. It is something else. It's a joy to sit back and watch your children just go out and, but with my youngest, he's the same way. My youngest is very dry and he's very, very not super animated unless he's in a smart aleck mood. He's very dry and he will just speak to you exactly like this. And he's plagued with RBF as I am. And so he'll just look straight at you into your soul and tell you you're wrong, why you're wrong, how you're wrong, and how you will always be wrong in the future. And then you start to reevaluate like everything in life and have an existential crisis. That's how he works on people. So, but this idea that, well, parents shouldn't be telling schools what they should teach. Schools don't get to tell parents what they're going to teach. Parents control the schools. I think people are forgetting the idea of how their state and local governments are structured. This is a community of parents who get together and they decide that they want to have their kids all learn here within their community. And they're going to support this endeavor with their tax dollars, which means they are the employer. And you can sit here and entertain any kind of authoritarian fantasy that you want to. But the parents are the ones who are in charge. They are in control. And any lawmaker who doesn't think that that's the case should never, ever be trusted with any elected office ever. Bottom line. Yes, parents should absolutely tell schools what they should teach. I know here in my community, when we had the big fight over CRT, and it's ongoing because we're going to have another school board race here. We have one on our hands. There were people who, because my kids went to a Christian school, they were like, well, your kids aren't even in the school. You don't get to say anything. Where do I send the invoice then for my tax dollars that I've paid all these years? Because it ain't cheap. As soon as you refund me all my money, then you can tell me that. But if you're not going to give me my money back, you can sit down and shut the heck up. I'll help you if you need help. But that's true. Never, ever, even if you don't even have any kids, even if you're single and you live in that area, your tax dollars go there. You have every right to weigh in. You go where your dollars go, folks. Don't ever buy this, well, just give us your money and stay out, line of reasoning from the left. I don't buy it, nor should you. So coming up, we're going to talk to the Missouri AG, because now they're having a mask. I saw this the other day, St. Louis County. So the state has, like Texas, they have a ban on mask mandates, right? Now, they're St. Louis County. What's that Klein's name? Same page?
Same page, yeah.
Jeez. He's the guy who thinks that he's the emperor of St. Louis County. It's my home state, mine Kane's home state. And that used to be the county that I lived in before we moved to Texas. So they wanted to have masks the ban on mask mandates. So we're going to talk to him about all of this as well, because this is a major, major problem. Why is it always that one county, that one dude in St. Louis County? None of the other restaurants are happy with it. It's like he hates people that he's supposed to represent. Gosh, I am so glad, because there's no way I'm not wearing a face panty anymore. We're not wearing face panties. We're done with this. Okay. You know what I hate? Sidebar. I know we got to get going, but have you seen the people who get the really ornate face panties?
Yes.
Stop it, people.
Yes.
Stop it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Big Grifton, anti-racism advocate, who's actually full-on, once CRT, institutionalized Marxist racism in schools, Ibram X. Kendi, he wins a MacArthur Genius Grant. He just grifted his way into over $500,000. He totally did. It's $625,000. Well, maybe he has to share it. It'll last 25 people of outstanding talent, blah, 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 blah. And I don't know. He charges $20,000 per speaking engagement. He's the guy who wrote Anti-Racist Baby. He's got a history of receiving grants for goals that actually never materialized. So in 2019, the Free Beacon notes, when he worked at American University, he got all these Ford Foundation grants, multiples, of $50,000, $200,000 to develop an anti-racist guidebook and a national anti-bigotry project, which never actually came to fruition. And then he kind of put together, not really, a research and policy center that didn't actually come into existence. He just had the idea. And then he took tens of thousands of dollars from all these foundations, but published zero research because they give you money to publish research. And now he runs another quote-unquote anti-racist center at Boston University, and Jack Dorsey gave it $10 million in August. So, yeah, this is crazy. This guy is one of the biggest grifters in the country. He really is. This is something else. That's the far left. iPhone 13 deliveries are delayed by COVID outbreaks in Vietnam, according to the New York Post. They said Apple customers are waiting longer than expected for some new deliveries of phones as the coronavirus wave hit company suppliers in Vietnam. Now, companies that are manufacturing the iPhone's image stabilization camera feature, that's apparently the piece that they're waiting for. They were asked to ramp up production to meet the demand for the new phones. But Vietnam's facing some pretty severe lockdowns. This is one of their worst waves of coronavirus. This is the Delta infection. And the supply chain bottleneck has led to waits of more than a month for the phone in many countries, according to the outlet. So, and Chinese customers they're facing a 5-week wait. I think they should have to wait longer. In fact, I don't even think they should get it because they're the ones who started all this nonsense. Yeah. So you don't get it. You don't get none of it. Anyway, Ron DeSantis, he orders an investigation into Facebook for using the platform to interfere in elections. He's authorized in a statement that he released to Florida Secretary of State and Florida Department of State to open up an investigation into Facebook's alleged election interference. This is great. Through its whitelisting program, he says Floridians deserve to know how much big tech has influenced our elections. That's awesome. I'm glad that he's doing that. He said that they clandestinely manipulated elections in an affront to the basic principles of our republic. So we'll see how that goes, but that's pretty awesome. The left is infuriated over USPS because they said now that the delivery is going to get slower and permanently, and it's good. They said it'll permanently slower and temporarily more expensive because they have to implement new service standards for first class mail and periodicals. Coming up next, another attorney general battling mask mandates in Missouri. Eric Schmidt joins us next.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
Are masks with us for a long, long time, years, forever?
Well, you know, I think the really important thing to emphasize here is the best way you can protect people with underlying conditions, immunosuppression, and people who are unable to get vaccinated is to get vaccines yourself, to surround them by people who are vaccinated, which puts them at much lower risk of disease. What we do know right now from the Delta variant is for people who have had two doses of the vaccine, they still need to wear their masks in the rare case that they might be a breakthrough infection.
So welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, obviously, as you know, danalash.com. We've been talking about this, the whole situation with the masks, which I'm calling face panties, because I refuse to pretend that the deadliest virus in the world can be simply contained with a cloth. But yet, if I play paintball, I have to wear like the big thing with the air filtration. And I just remember when my uncles would paint cars, they would have to wear the big thing with the air filtration. Deadliest virus in the world, though. No, you can go and just get a piece of cloth that says I'm vaccinated and you can wear that over your face. I'm not going to judge you. Just don't make me do it too. Right. I mean, I believe in science and I have I mean, a list of 34 different studies from the Annals of Internal Medicine that go into the CDC, Swiss Policy Research, Rational Ground, JMA, Transfusion Science, all kinds of stuff that in different university studies that actually say, I mean, if you want to wear and make yourself feel better, that's great. But they actually don't prevent a particle that's like smaller than the particle of smoke from getting in. And, you know, just saying. And especially in schools, this is a problem. And it's also a problem in my home state of Missouri, which is why now there is a lawsuit. There's an ongoing fight with us. I know that there's a school district fight and then there's a county fight with this mask mandate stuff. Joining us now, Attorney General of the great state of Missouri, the Show Me State, Eric Schmidt. It's good to see you, sir. Thank you for joining us. So this give us the lay of the land, like where everything is currently right now, because I can't imagine that anybody in Missouri or involved in whether it's Columbia schools or wherever that wants, everybody I know hates the whole mask mandate, especially the kids. Tell us, give us a lay of the land. Where are we at with this?
Yeah, so there's, you mentioned that there's two big fights that are going on. And obviously there's another one coming with Joe Biden announcing he's going to have a vaccine mandate for 100 million Missourians, and Missouri will be the first state to file a lawsuit to stop that too. So not only are we pushing back against the federal government on this kind of overreach, but also at the local level where you see these petty tyrants who've gotten power. They got power a year ago. They're never going to let it go. I mean, you had Joe Biden, yes, what, 2 days ago saying that, you know, when can Americans go back to normal? When we get to 98% vaccination rate, it's insane. They're never going to let this go. They've been exposed to what this really is, which is about power and control. And by the way, that's what's happening in schools right now. So on the school front, I just fundamentally don't believe in the forced masking of five-year-olds. I think that parents and families can make these important decisions, not bureaucrats. There's no widespread study that shows that this is actually effective for kids. In fact, there are a bunch of studies that show there's emotional and psychological issues, learning issues associated with this. And so we're fighting back. So we filed a lawsuit against Columbia School District, and we're trying to set the stage here to make sure that these go away in school districts. And by the way, as you said, if parents want to send their kids to school in a mask, this is America. If you've been vaccinated and you want to walk around the park all day long with six masks on your face outside, you know, this is America. That's not what I would do. But stop telling everybody else what they have to do. Stop telling the government mandating these things, because I think this is an important issue about who we are as a country. America's been the freest country in the history of the world. I don't want to live in a biomedical security state. So we have to push back on every front, because they're not going to let this go. So, and we've got the issue, obviously, with the schools, but then also with these counties. St. Louis County, you're familiar. It's the largest county in the state, 1 million people. We've beaten back that mask mandate several times. The county executive's coming back again. We're going to push back against that. It's just it's lunacy. And people have had enough of this stuff.
Yeah. Nobody wants an Australian type lockdown and crackdown on people who aren't wearing masks. And I'm never going to get over, what was it, the head of their health minister saying, if you're going to go to a pub and you're going to have to drink your beer through a mask and do all this. I mean, that's no one can live that way. It's anti-science. I thought we were supposed to follow the science. And that's the problem that I have. We're talking with Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, because if people were really following the science and they were looking at these, they were actually looking at scientific studies done on what particles are filtered through what type of material that people wear over their faces, then I think that there would be a way, way different positioning from even people like Sam Page in St. Louis County on this.
Yeah, and you've got some of the same Australian videos. You've got somebody on a bullhorn on a beach telling people laying on the beach to wear your mask. I mean, they're literally outside in the sunshine. And this is where, I mean, this stuff, people have lost their minds with this. It's become like this genuflecting to some altar of wokeism, I guess. But you're right. It's not backed up by science. It's just not. And I mean, I think the facts are lost in this too. Like, for example, in Missouri, this is good news, right? Every virus is different, but there's been no child under the age of 10 that's died from COVID.
Right.
There've been six under the age of 18. So it's essentially kids just don't contract and transmit or get seriously ill from COVID. That's not always the case. The Spanish flu was different, right? And if you're older, obviously can be, you can have much more severe complications from it. But that's what we know about kids. We also know that if you're relatively healthy and under the age of 25, you got about a 1 in a million chance of dying from COVID. If you've been vaccinated, actually you're as likely to die from a lightning strike as you are from COVID. You are 1.5 times more likely to be killed by a dog attack. Okay. But this stuff is just not covered because it doesn't fit in here. It's about, right, ban dogs. But it's about fear-mongering.
It is.
It's the way of the world for dictators and tyrants since the beginning of time. The left has gotten a taste of it, and they're not going to let this go. They're going to continue to try to scare people into submission. And because it's an incredibly powerful thing for Sam Page, the county executive, to stand there at that podium and say, you will wear a mask. You can't go into that business. We're going to lock it down. We're going to shut it down. And it's a mess. And why I've been the most active AG in the country and pushing back on this stuff, because I think this is a fundamental debate about liberty.
Mm-hmm.
We've created a system of checks and balances to protect individual liberty. And we have to fight for that. Otherwise, we're never going to get it back.
Yeah. And I think we've accelerated a lot of this tyranny just by accepting some of this stuff, accelerated maybe by 10 or 20 years in this country. Talking with Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt on the masking mandate. I'm going to get to the vaccine thing here in a moment as well. But, you know, you mentioned the child fatalities, and we don't know when some of these numbers are reported, we don't know what the comorbidities are, because usually that information isn't included. And the CDC got into a lot of trouble with Johns Hopkins and Wall Street Journal. They actually fisked the CDC numbers on child fatalities. It was something like 246. And what Johns Hopkins and Wall Street Journal did was go through every single one of those cases. And what they found out is that every single one of those cases had serious comorbidities like leukemia, which that's a pretty big factor when you're looking at what the fatality ratio for this virus is, and you're dealing with leukemia. That's a pretty serious comorbidity. But it wasn't included in the numbers, nor was it included by the press, or I would imagine by people like Sam Page, when they're presenting this as a fearmonger tactic to tell parents, you got to get your kids injected and they have to wear masks. When actually, I mean, if you have a serious comorbidity, that's one thing, but that's not the majority of people. And why are they not following that science?
I don't know. And kids are actually more resilient against this virus than vaccinated adults, right? We don't hear any of that. The CDC actually had a study showing that masks are very ineffective in a school setting. It got buried about 2 months ago. It just didn't, again, it didn't fit the narrative. And what's happening now is these so-called quote unquote public health bureaucrats have lost credibility. Many of them have just become political operatives for Democrats. And that's a terrible thing, right, for getting information, because I think conservatives would say, just get the information out there. Let people make their decisions. If they want their kid to wear a mask, they don't want their kid to wear a mask, that's a family decision. But this kind of central command here is antithetical to who we are as a country. And we've got, people have options now. We know a lot more about this than we did a year ago. We know that kids are, you know, at very little risk here of getting seriously ill. And yet we have people who are demanding that five-year-olds, who, by the way, it's affecting their learning. It causes physical issues, certainly psychological and emotional issues. We know all of that, but yet you balance that with the relatively low risk. It just doesn't matter. And science is supposed to rule the day here, right? That's what we're told. But yet the left continues to ignore it. And that's why I think we have to fight back. We have to fight back on every front on this, because if you give an inch, they're going to take a mile. They're going to take another mile and another mile, and it's never going to go away. And Dana, I said this before, you watch a year from now, because of some new variant, right? They're going to say it's not safe for in-person voting, and that signature verification is just kind of too difficult, and that grandma, we ought to have political operatives collect grandma's ballot, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to use this, as long as they use it, until we stand up and we push back and say enough.
Yeah.
And I've been across the state. I was in a living room 2 weeks ago with 100 moms who've never been involved in politics before, who've had enough. They want the best for their kids. I think it's great that people are showing up these county council meetings and these school board meetings. There's a bubbling up of energy. People have had enough. They want their country back.
Now, I think that's a great point. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt's joining us to talk about these mask mandates. You mentioned the vaccine mandate as well. And I know that as AG, you've been, I think, maybe one of the most vocal ones in the country on pushing back on this stuff. And I'm going to ask you about the border issues here in a moment. But this vaccine, looking at some of the details of this, because now it looks like the fine could be anywhere from $70,000 to $700,000 if some of these businesses with 100 or more employees, if they fail to mandate vaccines. According to the vaccine enforcement mechanism, it's page 126 of the 2,400 something whatever page bill that they're pushing through, the Build Back Better bill. To me, it seems like if you're going to mandate this stuff, you're going to mandate $70,000 to $700,000, something that could bankrupt a business, a small business that drives 60% of the economy. You better make sure that the vaccine actually inoculates people And that, and you also should assume liability for any kind of adverse reaction. Otherwise, where's the justification to demand people get an injection? I mean, I love vaccines, but I think that there has to be accountability for the government. You can't mandate that someone inject themselves with something. How are you going to handle this as AG of Missouri? Because this is going to be a fight, and it could pass.
Yeah, and I think that it's probably the more likely option is that Joe Biden moves forward, and it could be this week. On the OSHA, executive action, right? I guess they could get something through Congress. I'd be a little surprised, but no matter what, we're going to push back because this is unconstitutional. And this is about, all you need to know, this is about command and control. It is about you will comply or we're going to put you out of business. If you think about that, I mean, it's happening at the local level, but the federal government to come in and say, if you don't do exactly what we say, when we say it, you're done. People, I think, are waking up to how dangerous this really is because they've never said, Dana, what's the end of all this, right? When does this end? What are the numbers that support, and I guess it's 98% vaccination, Joe Biden, which is never going to happen, but maybe that's the point, right? And I think our antennas should be up. So what are we going to do? So a minute, if that happened, obviously we'd have a different legal strategy, but I think what we're focused on here more immediately is Joe Biden is going to issue an unconstitutional executive action, executive order, an emergency order that's not, you know, substantiated or allowed by any kind of federal statute in Missouri. And I'm sure other states are going to file a lawsuit immediately. And we're going to win because it's illegal, just like we won at, you know, the Supreme Court on the Remain in Mexico policy. The founders were very, very concerned and put very important protections and safeguards to make sure that no one branch, no one person, no one agency got this kind of power. The idea that one man or one woman could sign a piece of paper and force the vaccination for 100 million Americans without any statutory authority is very dangerous, which is why we're going to file a lawsuit. We're going to push back aggressively and we're going to win because there's no basis for any of this. And I think all of these fights are important. I think we'll look back one day and be very proud. Conservatives will be very proud that we stood up, even in the face of the ridicule, you know, these segregation tactics that they're starting to move forward, the contempt that the left will have for anybody who disagrees with them. And all we're saying is let people make these decisions. This is stuff that you could look back in history and these authoritarian regimes have employed before. We just can't allow it to take root here in America.
Exactly. Last question for you, Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, you know, talking about the pandemic and all of these mitigation efforts, but the one effort that actually is not really being attempted by the administration and all the people who are talking about how so concerned they are, they want to mask your kids and everybody should be forced to get an injection. But hey, the southern border, and as AG of Missouri, you joined Texas as well. You talked about the Remain in Mexico policy because, you know, all the states are affected by this, especially when we learned that thousands of people are being carried further inward into the interior of the country, despite no tests, there's no vax pass. They didn't have to prove that they were negative for entry like an American citizen would wouldn't returning to the country. I just want your quick thoughts on this before we head out.
Yeah, look, every state has an interest in this. Missouri, we've been very aggressive in pushing back and tackling human trafficking. Mm-hmm. And we know that the cartels, right, are not just trafficking drugs, they're trafficking people. And there's very vulnerable people who are being abused through the human trafficking because we have an open border. All of this blame lies solely at the feet of Joe Biden. So the Remain in Mexico policy was important for us to get back to President Trump's policy where Mexico's the waiting room. We actually filed a motion with Texas last week to now enforce that, to make sure the Biden administration is actually following the law here. And we also, on the Title 42 issues, making sure people are being expelled who are a health risk. Because as you said, you know, there seems to be this great concern with five-year-olds wearing masks all day long, but the Joe Biden doesn't care at all that you have people coming across the border with COVID.
Yeah.
So it sends mixed messages here. So we're going to do everything we can to fight back. And again, we've been successful. We've beaten Joe Biden at the Supreme Court before. We intend to do it again. You know, Psaki was at the podium here recently saying, well, I don't hear any suggestions from Republicans about what we should do at the southern border. And my response is, how about enforce the law?
Yeah. How about enforce the law? Start with that. We're out of time, unfortunately. But I know we'll be talking again because there's just too much. There's too much happening. But Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, so good to talk with you. Thank you so much for all you're doing on behalf of Liberty. We'll talk with you again soon. Take care.
Thanks, Dana.
Of course. Good to see you.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
I'm read this. I don't know who this guy is. Some filmmaker person. Anyway, this guy hates Chick-fil-A apparently. And he goes, this is where your Chick-fil-A comes from. And it's a bunch of chickens that are in, I guess, a slaughterhouse. And it's like, where do you think food comes from? Right. Like, what do you think happens? Like the chickens just like magically bippity bobbity boo appear featherless and all grilled and shiny and cute on your little Chick-fil-A bun. You think that that's how that happens? I love how people think the closest they get to nature is going into the meat section at the grocery store. Stop it. All right. Today in stupidity, if it's not this, Kane.
Yeah. No, actually, that is pretty stupid. But Nancy Pelosi, now this is day two she's made today in stupidity. She was out there stimping for the $3.5 trillion bill and again says stuff like this.
Not about a dollar amount. The dollar amount, as the president has said, is zero. This bill will be paid for.
It'll be paid for, but it's zero. Why would you have to pay for something that's zero?
Yeah, I don't. And why would the IRS be involved if it was zero?
Yeah, I don't understand all this because, you know, we're logical and they're political. So
yeah,
it's pretty stupid.
Yeah, well, and there you have it. Folks, that does it for us this Wednesday. And as always, very good to be with you. Get the newsletter at Substack. Don't forget the Odyssey app. Make sure you download that as well. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.